This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
It says, do this so all Israel will be afraid. I'm telling you, if we were to do a little bit of that today, we'd have a whole lot less people in prison. You know it? A whole lot less people in prison. Well, unfortunately, we don't do a very good job of these kind of things. But in Deuteronomy 28, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Deuteronomy 28, 58. Now, Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, is a summary of the Abrahamic covenant, the blessings. But starting with verse 15, it's a summary of the curses. But now the summary of the curses is much longer than the summary of the blessings. The blessings is only 14 verses. The curses is about 65 verses. But I want you to go to verse 58, Deuteronomy 28, 58. And I want you to see what this says. Deuteronomy 28, 58, at least in the NLT, it'll read similar to this in the King James or whatever translation you have. If you refuse to obey all the terms of this law that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God. Now, see, what if you don't fear His name? What if you're out there taking the Lord's name in vain? You ever hear anybody today say, GD this? Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, they're taking that name in vain. You know, they're not reverencing that name. The Lord says that name, when it's taken in vain, is a sin that will not go unpunished. That's serious stuff. Now, but He says here, if you refuse to obey all the terms of this law that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will overwhelm both you and your children. Ooh, what? I mean, this curse is not going to come up on just you. It's going to come up on you and your children. Isn't that awful? To think that your sin could be passed to your children? He said, and the Lord will overwhelm both you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. I don't like none of that, do you? Well, see, praise God, we don't have to live there. I mean, you make a choice who you're going to serve. But he said, He will bring against you all the diseases of Egypt that you feared so much, and they will claim you. The Lord will bring against you every sickness and plague there is, even those not mentioned in this book, until you are destroyed. Does this sound like serious stuff? Why do you think so many people are sick and afflicted today? Because they don't obey God. Even as church people, God's children, when we disobey, He still gets the rod of correction after us. And that brings sickness and disease upon us. He says here, until you are destroyed, though you are as numerous as the stars in the sky, few of you will be left because you would not listen to the Lord your God. Verse 63 says, just as the Lord has found great pleasure in helping you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you until you disappear from the land you're about to enter and occupy. All because of your disobedience. That's not exactly the kind of stuff that the average Christian wants to look at, is it? You know? But how do we stop from being, how do we not be that way? We don't sin. We read the Word. We put Him first. We worship Him. And we praise Him. And when we do what He says, what did He say He'll do to us, brother? Bless us. He gives the Lord great pleasure to bless His children that are obedient. I mean, when you have children, if your children are obedient and they do what you ask them to do, does it give you great pleasure to bless your children with good things? Of course. Yeah, of course. You like to do good things for your children. You know? But then it says here in 1 Samuel 12. Now, if you will... Yeah, okay, I'll give you just a second to get to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is just a little bit further over to the right where we are in Deuteronomy. Just a few books over. You'll come over to 1 Samuel. And then we'll go to chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. 1 Samuel 12, 14. Now if, that word's used so many times. Now if you will fear and worship the Lord and listen to His voice. Let me ask you a question. How many of you besides me in here fears the Lord? I mean, He can just, I mean, I reverence Him, and I have a very reverent fear of God. Because you know, if I were to disobey God, you know how easy it would be for Him to just take me out? Yeah. You know what do you have to do? That's all you have to do, isn't it, honey? Bam.
Take that last breath.
Yeah. All you got to do is take away your breath. I mean, somebody says, I was thinking about, we were talking about this on the way here tonight. When Cheryl and I was over in Ireland the other day, we saw these huge cranes where they made the Titanic. You know, they're still there. You know, that big giant thing, Samson and Goliath. The biggest cranes I've ever seen in my life. I mean, those monsters are humongous cranes that are sitting out there on the ocean where they built ships. And they built the Titanic right there with those two cranes. And then I think about this ship that was supposed to be, that had 1-inch boilerplate. The whole ship was made out of, the hull was made out of 1-inch thick boilerplate steel. That's good quality steel. When they got through with that ship, it had 7 compartments in it, each individual compartment sealed, and any 2 compartments could keep this ship afloat. So they said, this ship, for all 7 compartments, or at least for 6 of them, to be damaged and water flow in is just unthinkable. So this is the unsinkable ship, the Titanic. And so the captain, whenever they got ready to leave that very first maiden voyage, he stood up and said, God, you can't even sink this ship. You see anything wrong with what he did? The king says, oh yeah? You think I can't sink this measly little boat? This little tiny canoe that y'all have got down, you don't have a clue who I am. And that ship comes across the North Atlantic and hits an iceberg, and a piece of ice rips at the very front, rips a hole in that ship all the way down the side, all the way to the back, and rips a hole in every compartment in that ship. You know what the chances of that happening from an iceberg would be? Probably 1 in a trillion. But it happened to the Titanic. And within a very few minutes, the Titanic is on the bottom of the ocean. Now just think, if they'd have got on their knees and said, Lord, we worship you for giving us the knowledge and the ability to build this magnificent boat. We dedicate this ship to you, and for service under your kingdom forever. We are so grateful. Now then, Lord, we know that you're going to send your angels and give them charge of this boat, and we know this boat will be unsinkable. Nothing can touch this boat because we dedicate this ship to you and for your kingdom forever. In the name of Jesus. If they'd have done that, you know what? That Titanic would still be making voyages across the North Atlantic today. It would be unsinkable because you dedicated it to God. But we need to learn to have a reverent fear of God. If He can take an iceberg and rip a hole in a piece of 1-inch boulder steel from front to back of a ship, and it sink? What do you think God can do? He can do anything. But He doesn't like disobedience, does He? He don't like somebody standing up and waving their fist, a mere little man saying, God, even you can't sink this boat. I could just see the king now. That'd be kind of like a little red ant walking up on the floor with me. And I look down and he could talk. And he looks up at me and said, I'm fixing to bite you and I'm going to kill you. That would really scare me, wouldn't it, you, Deborah? I'd say, well, I never heard a red ant talk, but you're not going to talk after today. Do you think my 180 pounds could mash him just a little bit, Susan? I think so, too. So, I mean, this is, it's just as absurd for us as people to make a statement like that to God. I mean, He's the King of the universe. And here we are, mere man, and we make statements like that to God. Give me a break. What you need to do is you need to have a reverent fear of the King, and you need to worship and praise the King. And you need to, when you reverence Him and you worship and praise Him, of course, under the new covenant, under the new set of laws He gives under the New Testament, He says, if you'll do what I tell you, if you'll love me and you'll love your neighbors yourself, He said, then you can come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. I like that, don't you? Amen. I like to be able to come to the King and ask Him for anything. I mean, this precious lady sitting up on her front beside Eldon, she was telling me about her horse. She said, I had a horse that had a great big abscess tooth or something, whatever it was that was causing a problem. And she asked Eldon to come over to the house and pray for the horse. He went over and prayed over the horse and anointed the horse with oil. The next day, the jaw was perfectly normal. See? Now, there's a man of God right there. You know, he prays in faith. He walks in obedience to the Word. He don't make nothing stupid statements, God, I'll do something. No, he said, Lord, I know You're my Lord and my God. And I worship You, and I read Your Word, and I'm doing everything I can to walk in obedience to Your Word. And whenever Eldon asks God for things, God hears and He answers. And that's not just the first one. He's done it with many things like that. He gets lots of his prayers answered. So praise the King. You know, that's why whenever we get an overflow of something out there, I send phone calls to Eldon. He calls these people back and he talks to them on the phone. And many of them get healed because he knows how to pray the prayer of faith. He's walking in obedience to God's Word. I am very selective about who I call to send prayer requests to. Because if you're not walking in obedience to God's Word, it ain't going to do no good for you to pray. He ain't going to do nothing for you. Is he, Sharon? But whenever you start doing things right, he answers your prayers too, doesn't he? Yes, he does. But, you know, he's no respecter of persons there either.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.